if I had a title, I would say, where is or was the Holy Spirit? I value the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit, and you do too. Each one of us that are here this morning are needy creatures when it comes to living for God. We cannot do it in our own strength, and we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So I want to lay just a little foundation to our thought today and say that the Holy Spirit is called the third person of the Trinity. And now the word Trinity is not in the Bible. That word is not. But what it represents is all through the Bible. Because what that means is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. And the three of them are one. And the three of them in one person operate as one. And it's a beautiful picture which includes even the creation. And it will be there until the end of time. The three will be in operation together until Jesus comes again. So this doctrine was not as prevalent or visible in the Old Testament as it is in the New. Yet there are many scriptures that we could produce that makes it obvious that the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. When you look in Genesis, you find this scripture here in the very beginning, and God said, "Let us make man in our image." He didn't say, "Let me make man in my image." He included in the creation of man himself, his image, his spirit, and his son. Then as you go through the Old Testament, after the fall of man, God walked and talked with them up to that point, had a personal relationship with those that he created. When man fell and were cast out of the garden, it broke that relationship, that communion with God, a personal communion. After that, God chose holy men who believed in him, had faith even though faith was not understood, and yet he worked through certain holy men down through the ages, bringing it to Christ. You will find scriptures that will say, "And the Spirit of God," or "the Spirit of the Lord came upon him." Various places, it's something that you can study. Take that and study that out in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was there. It was not called necessarily the Holy Spirit, but the word Spirit was capitalized, which meant it was a proper noun. It was the name of a person. And so the Holy Spirit was there down through the Old Testament. We also think of Christ. Oftentimes we think of Christ and his appearance of when he was born as being his introduction. And yet we find a scripture that also says, he said it, Jesus said it, and it's in John 17 and 5, it says, "Now, O Father," he is praying to the Father, and he said, "Glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." And that's just, I'm just giving you a few scriptures. All of this is verified, and there are witnesses that Christ was part of the Trinity at the foundation of the world. Before the world was, Christ was there. I have to also give you the scripture over in Daniel. Do you remember that one? Where the three Hebrew children were in the furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he said, I see the fourth man in the fire. And he looks like the Son of God. Now, how did he know what he looked like? There was something that spoke of him being the Son of God. So I am so glad this morning for the truth of God's word and for the plan. It is so perfect. It is so entire. It is wanting nothing. And the one that has all of the government upon his shoulder also has the word, which is Christ, and he has the spirit, which is the executor of all things in the church. So we're thankful this morning for the Holy Spirit. Have you tasted of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever felt the presence of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever heard the voice of the Holy Spirit? Does he have a voice? He has a voice. The scripture tells us that his voice is a still, small voice. And yet God is desiring for you and me to get acquainted with that voice. He wants us to taste and see that he is good. He wants us to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about all of that. But you have to seek for it. There is a scripture that says that it is his will to give it to us, even our sanctification. So we're going to address some of those issues this morning. So the Holy Spirit was from the beginning, and Christ was from the beginning with his Father. Jesus commanded his disciples. He said, I want you to wait at Jerusalem. I want you to wait for this gift. I want you to wait for the promise of the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit. It was prophesied that the Holy Spirit would be a part of this dispensation. You and I are so blessed to be in this time. We may look around and consider the evil and the darkness of this world and think that, oh my, I wish I had lived in a different time. But I want to tell you, he is the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be the same tomorrow. We use that scripture for Christ, but it can be applied to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to help you and me in this day and time. The scripture says, where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound. And so the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives is going to be able to help you and me in this age, in this generation, and ever how many generations go and how many generations come, the Holy Spirit will be the same. Thank the Lord. I value the Holy Spirit this morning. So Jesus told his disciples that they were to wait for it and for the promise of God's Spirit. The Spirit was to dwell in them. It was to work through them all of the works of God. Now you'll find this in Acts, the first chapter. We're going to read some of this, though. Jesus also commanded this, and he said it, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And then he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. So we're going to start reading now in the second chapter of Acts. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, verse 11, 14, 16 through 18 to save a little time. And it says, and the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is a passage where oftentimes people get in some confusion. This is the inception of the Holy Spirit. It was in great demonstration. When Christ was born, there were special demonstrations that introduced Christ as the Son of God. The shepherds were out in the field. The angels appeared, announcing his birth like no other birth had been announced. So those things that were opened up to mankind as a result of God's plan, it came with demonstration or introduction. It came with witnesses. When Christ's birth was announced, it was lowly shepherds, and they went and they witnessed that Christ was born, and they worshiped him. There were other witnesses. There were witnesses in the temple, two witnesses in the temple, that also with their own mouth professed that Christ was the Son of God. Then we had the three wise men. They were witnesses. Mary and Joseph were witnesses. But yet the whole world did not see it. But it was that beginning of a gift that God was bringing to the earth. And it is the same with the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, now I want you to wait for this promise because it will come. The Comforter, I must go away, but the Comforter will come. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And so we have here, I believe, 120 all together in one room, and they were in unity. Did you know that there is power in unity? When you and I are in agreement with the Word of God, you and I can be in agreement and it not be the Word of God. Did you know there's a power with that too, but not a right power? If I am in agreement with something that is false, it will not be producing what the Word of God says. But if I am in unity with the Word, and you are in unity with the Word, that's the unity that the Spirit is looking for. We can come together. We can bow before Him. We can call upon His name in His name. We can ask anything and it shall be done. Do you believe that? The power is the unity of the Spirit in the Word. Not because I'm in agreement with you, but because we are in agreement with the Word and the Spirit. And so in this passage right here, where the Holy Spirit is being introduced, it was done with a manifestation of a cloven tongue of fire sitting upon their heads. It has never happened again since that time. Just as there's not been another manifestation of the angels appearing in heaven to announce something to us personally of Christ's birth. So this was demonstrated with something of power. There was a rushing mighty wind, and these cloven tongues were upon their heads, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Sometimes this can be confusing also, because we have many beliefs today of speaking in tongues as a sign of receiving the Holy Ghost. Did you know that the sign of receiving the Holy Ghost in your life is to produce a holy life? A demonstration of a power working in your life? That's the sign that you have the Holy Spirit in your life. Not that you can speak something that is not understood. I want to read this for us to understand what this said. It said, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." You see, this word Pentecost, today it represents something that religious people in other movements call, "I am Pentecostal." When in reality, that word only meant that they were in the time of harvest. And this was the time of the Jews coming together for the feast of harvest. And it was always called Pentecost. So that's why there were so many people there at Jerusalem at that time. There were people there that were Jews from every nation. They spoke other languages. And it says, "Now when this was noised abroad," verse 6, "the multitude came together and were confounded." Why were they confounded? It was because they couldn't hear or couldn't understand? No, it said, "It was because every man heard them speak in their own language." Whatever this universal tongue was, it was spoken. And if I had been there and I was from Germany this morning, we have those here that are not able to understand my tongue. And so they're having to have it translated. And that's how we have to do. We can't just stand up here and, I mean, we've been over to Germany, and when they speak, if they don't tell us what they're saying, it's dead to our ears. But this was a special tongue. And it said all of them heard it in their own tongue or their own language. Verse 7, "And they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all of these which speak Galatians? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" Isn't that a marvel? Did you know this is the kind of tongue that God wants? The gift of tongues is one that could be spoken and you hear it in your tongue. But if we don't have the gift of tongue, we have to do what is being done today. It has to be translated, and the scripture tells us that. If we have those that are speaking another language and they cannot tell what we're saying, yes, there has to be a translation. This is a marvel to me. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Wouldn't you have liked to have heard this one tongue and you heard it in your own language? I would have. Skip down to verse 11. It said, "The Cretes and the Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." You know, I don't believe God is desiring us to have some kind of a gift of tongue that we can stand out on the corner and speak to all that we would be around anything other than the wonderful works of God. I'll tell you this little story. There was a story about this woman that they called her Holy Anne. And she grew up ignorant. She could not read. She could not write. And so she was just a regular, just a lowly servant. And she had a terrible temper, and she was not governed by any other spirit but her spirit. And one day she was told about salvation and the power of his salvation. And she received it. And yet she could not read for herself. But the Holy Spirit taught her to read the Bible. She could read nothing else. But she could pick up the Bible and she could read it by the Holy Spirit. So someone was testing her one day. And they had a newspaper. This is in England. They had a newspaper. They gave it to her and they said, "Can you read this?" And she looked at it and she said, "Well, I see a word right there that says Lord, but it's not my Lord." That was by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants you and me to use our voices to glorify Him in all of our life. Does that mean you have to go around talking about the Lord all the time? No, but the scripture says, "Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, my strength, my redeemer." And so here it is, another two people, two nationalities, and they said, "We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And then down to 14. "And Peter, standing up even with the 11, lifted up his voice and said something." Now think about Peter. Peter was one that was a close disciple to Christ. He walked with him. He talked with him. They labored together. He was saved, if you will. Yet there came a point that he was a coward and he denied Christ. And as soon as he did, Jesus told him you would. And he made such strong proclamations, "I will die with you." And then it said that he went out and he wept bitterly because he had been such a coward. And now you have Peter in a different setting. He's now filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these men," oh, they thought they were drunk. "They are not drunk, seeing it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters." Many people today are not for women standing in this place. But I want to tell you, when it comes to male and female, they are both the same with God and the Holy Spirit. The prophecy of old is more than once it says, "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy." And so the Spirit of God makes no difference. "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids," does it again, it says it again, "I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens and signs upon the earth." I want to tell you, this was the fulfillment of the promise of God to give to mankind the Holy Spirit. Oh, if you haven't got the Holy Spirit in your life, I challenge you to seek for it with your whole heart and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you now a couple of scriptures that were prophetic scriptures that we love to read. And one is in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27, parts of those. And it says, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit. Did you know there is a spirit of man? And when we are governed by the spirit of man, we are not governed by the spirit of God. When we follow our own ways, the scripture says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. So he wants to put a new spirit. Will I put in you? I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Don't you know that man has their own judgments? And man walks by their own judgments? But there is but one judgment, and it is the judgment of Christ. Another prophetic scripture is in Jeremiah 31, 33-34. And I need to turn and read that. It's a little bit more extensive. The 31st, someone gets it before me for the sake of time, we'll go ahead with it. 31. 33. It says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Oh, this is so good. Saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. I will write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34, the latter part, for they shall know me from the least unto the greatest. Oh, I want to tell you, that's what we want you to get a hold of today, is that this wonderful plan that God has for his people, the plan of salvation through the blood of his Christ, is for all of mankind. Whosoever will, let him come. Those that, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's his plan. But his plan is, it's his will for you and me to be filled with this Spirit. He has a reason. He has a purpose. He wants everyone to be able to know him from the least to the greatest. Why do you think that is? Why is it necessary that we all know him personally? I will tell you why. There are, and we're speaking of in the religious world, there are times that men come together and they begin to have their own doctrines. They're called the doctrines of men. They discuss this, and this is history. You can read the book. Lauren has been reading it on the history of the Anderson Church of God, which once had the Holy Spirit ruling and reigning in their services. And they began to see things that they wanted to change. And so they came and they made the decisions of what to alter and change in the doctrines. Now, if you had the Holy Spirit and that happened in your time, and it could happen today, it has happened. If you have the Holy Spirit, there will be a voice that will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. The Holy Spirit will not speak anything that is not truth, for it is the Spirit of truth. It will not speak anything that is contrary to the Word of God. And if you have the Holy Spirit working in your life, it's for your protection. It will give you a spirit of discernment. You may not be able to always identify exactly what is wrong, but there will be something there to protect you until you do know what is wrong. That you will not imbibe a wrong spirit. That you will not take on an error or a lie. Remember, God cannot lie. His Spirit cannot lie. Christ cannot lie. There is no darkness in Him. And so, if you seek for the Holy Spirit to be in your life, it will govern your life. We're going to read some more scripture about that. We're going to speak now of what the privilege is, the great privilege of having the Holy Spirit dwell in us. The Holy Spirit, because it has said that we will all know Him from the least to the greatest, then He will fulfill that in our life, in our walk with Him. It is the whole plan of God. Salvation of His Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. John 14, going to look at verses 16 and 17. Jesus is speaking these words. And He said, if ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. Oh, that's 14, I'm sorry. 16. And I will pray unto the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide in you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now remember, only His redeemed can receive it. The world cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They must be purged and purified from all of their sins. They must be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb to be a candidate for receiving of the Holy Spirit. And the world cannot receive it, it says. Neither can the world know Him. But ye know Him. For He dwelleth in you and shall be, He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The value of the Holy Spirit. He will be with us. Thank the Lord. John 6 and 63. It says, it is the Spirit that giveth life. Life to what? Life to our spiritual soul. Life to be able to open up our eyes, give us understanding. The Spirit calls. The Spirit saves. The Spirit sanctifies. And the Spirit keeps. Isn't that valuable? Oh, don't you want the Holy Spirit to be in your life, working the works of God? When we receive the Holy Spirit, He begins a lifelong work of guiding us. If He would say, I will never leave you nor forsake you, there's many people in the world that do not have the Holy Spirit, and they claim that scripture whether they're saved or not. But what that scripture means, I will never leave you when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. I will never forsake you. I will be there. I will order your life. I will order your steps. I will let you know. I will inform you. I will enlighten your eyes. And I will guide you into all truth. And that's scripture. I will never guide you contrary to the word of God. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and we're going to look at 10 and 12 through 16. And it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, what is he talking about? It says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, verse before that, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God's prepared a place for you that he can walk with you. He can walk, he can talk with you. You can have that communion that Adam and Eve had with God in the garden. It was precious. We can have that now. You can have the Holy Spirit working in your life, guiding your life, ordering your steps, ordering your life. He is able to keep you from temptation, from all of the snares of the enemy. The scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when I live my life, I'm still human. I'm still in this life. I am walking every day, rubbing shoulders, experiencing the pressures of life, the temptations of life. I want to tell you that with the Holy Spirit, you can resist it. Thank the Lord. I'm going to testify. Yesterday, I was out at the grocery store, and we can see just about anything when we go out. It doesn't matter if we are a man or a woman. We need to make a covenant with our eyes. It doesn't matter. We often might say that to men, but I want to tell you, women need it too. At my age, you wouldn't think any kind of a temptation. But the enemy would like to plant thoughts in our mind. Be aware of it. Be alert. Don't allow them to even be in your mind for a second. He wants to take advantage. At my age, the enemy put some thoughts in my mind at the grocery store. What did I do with it? Did I cave in? Immediately, the Holy Spirit was there. And immediately, the Holy Spirit said, rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. And I began to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. And I claimed, what did I claim? Because remember, when we rebuke the devil, we have to claim something to fill the place of that. I claimed the purity of Christ. Oh, I want to tell you, Christ is pure and righteous and holy. All of him is holy. We're called to holiness. And we cannot live a holy life without the Holy Spirit working and living in us. Thank the Lord. So the next scripture says, God hath revealed them unto us the things that he's prepared for us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things. That's the value of having the Holy Spirit. It will search your thoughts. It will search your feelings. It will search your heart. It is a searcher of humanity. And then it is there not to accuse. Who is an accuser? Satan is an accuser of the brethren, but the Holy Spirit is there to give power. Immediately, if we call upon Him, if we rebuke the devil, and then claim the power of the Holy Spirit, you can surmount every temptation, every snare, every trap that the enemy will set in your path. That's the value of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I hope this morning that you get a vision of the value of the Holy Spirit, and you won't quit until you know that you are filled with the Holy Ghost and with the fire of the Holy Ghost. You have to ask for it. I've been talking to some, encouraging them. Did you know you need to ask for the Holy Spirit every day? That's not getting sanctified every day. You have given your heart and your life. You've consecrated. You've said, Lord, I want you to sanctify me wholly. And that's good. It is a one-time seeking, you might say, in that way. But we know not what a day will bring forth. So every morning when I pray, I'm saying, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Fill me with the fire of the Holy Ghost today. I don't know what I'm facing today. It's just like asking for grace. And then I know the congregation may get tired of me saying this scripture. Seek for the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. That they be working in you. That they be producing those things in your life. Thank the Lord. So now, He searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then I want to skip down to verse 12. And it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. There's many spirits. There's a spirit of the world. There is a spirit of God. There's a spirit of Christ. Spirit of the Holy Spirit. But we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Oh, I want to tell you, there is a passage where Paul spoke and he said, even if you hear these things from an angel from heaven, if it's not spoken according to the word of God, don't receive it. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit to protect us from man's doctrines, from man's wisdom. So he said, this is not in the words of the wisdom that man teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Oh, these are wonderful, wonderful passages to inspire us to seek for that Spirit that will teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. I'm going to end with a passage in Luke to give us a Luke 12, just a little warning. You know, in the last few weeks, we have been preaching different messages concerning warning the righteous that they sin not. There are many warnings that we need in this age, that we be alert, that we be awake, that we be very aware of where the enemy is trying to work in our lives, because the scripture says that he wants to appear as an angel of light. That's why you've got to be, you've got to know the voice of the Lord, because the enemy will try to sound like that voice. In the 12th chapter, verse 10 of Luke, it says, "And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him." You know, there are people that use God's name in vain. There are people that do not have a regard for the plan of God or for his Son. And did you know that if they repented of that, they would be saved? You would think, oh, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he gave his life's blood. He made the sacrifice. We should honor him. The whole world should honor him. But the whole world doesn't honor him. But he's made a way through his own shed blood that he can forgive all of that. But listen to what he won't forgive. And this is the warning. "But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven." Now, I could read you some more scripture that says the same thing. And remember, we don't take one verse. The word says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So I wanted to end this morning with that passage to remind us. The Holy Spirit is a very tender spirit. You can offend the Holy Spirit and it will leave you. Now, if you're here this morning and you are very conscientious, don't let the devil jump on you and accuse you. Oh, I may have offended the Holy Spirit somewhere. I point you back to the scripture that we have given here many times, speaking about a perfect mind. "If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you." The person that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost has gone far from God before that happens. Remember that. When the enemy would try to accuse, remember that. God is merciful. His mercy is new every morning. His compassions fail not. He is able to deliver. He is able to save to the uttermost. And he is able to fill us with the Holy Spirit and keep us. Thank the Lord. Oh, I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. This is just a very small part of the Holy Spirit. What he wants you to do is to seek after him, be filled with his Spirit, and then he will begin to reveal himself, the deep things of God. He'll begin to open up to you. You will be amazed at the wonderful things of God that he wants to reveal in your life. The victory, the power. Can't do it on your own. You need power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. May the Lord bless these thoughts and enlarge them. This is just like touching the tip of the iceberg. The Lord wants to reveal himself to you. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.